Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hey, fam.
Hey, fam.
Hey, fam.
My name's Levins. His name is Angus. This is our podcast. Hey, fam. Welcome to it. Coming to you live from Angus's living room,
slash
also known as
Tommy Dasilo's bedroom.
Yeah.
It's like coming to see your dad's, isn't it? It's like it's like me and Stevie finally tied the knot, who was our tech guru.
It's just see a couple of butts on the place where I'll be putting my head in a couple of hours' time trying to have a snooze.
Hey, Angus, yeah. Do podcasts make you fart as well?
I tell you what. It's something about Burrito Tuesdays. It always happens to be the time when
Burrito Tuesdays.
Yeah, extra beans if you know what I mean. that's for all the the pranksters out there. They don't know what I'm talking about.
The original pranksters only.
Yeah. Yeah, you guys have a big prankster audience, I'm sure.
Yes, seriously.
At least 110%
people, of our gather audience. Their whoopee cushions around and tune into AFAM.
The stats we get, it's just like Poindexters are at an all-time low right now. And we're trying to keep it that way.
Everyone, welcome to the Hey Fam podcast. Hey Family. That's right. I only worked out last week that fam was short for family.
Yeah, I was really in the dark about that.
I always assumed it, and then someone told me it was like familiar. Fam was short for familiar.
You're interrupting your own introduction.
Oh, okay. I'm very sorry.
Please welcome to Hey Fam, our newest and greatest, maybe, guest. Ooh. Tommy Dasilo, all the way from Melbourne.
Mm.
It's our first real interstate guest because Henry Stone, while being from Brisbane,
he lives
currently
now,
lives in
yeah.
Sydney. He's us yeah. now.
Like if he did a census in the last couple of years, Sydney cider.
He's,
like,
yeah,
100.
He's in. He's one of you
he's
guys.
He's even like sitting like a Sydney person, I noticed, like, you know, flips the chair backwards.
Definitely farts on Tommy's bed like a Sydney person.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, that's a Sydney thing, is it?
Yeah.
Thanks for having me, guys. It's lovely to be here. I'd like to give a quick congratulations to Angus Truscott. 1 week sober on the podcast.
I was going to say 7 days. I've got my 7 day token.
Yeah, we've got a 7 day since drunk podcast incident.
Hey, look, guys,
sign on the wall.
If you got big news that day, too.
It's actually pretty great because I think last week was definitely our most commented on and maybe the most beloved episode of Hey Fam
yeah,
so far.
I felt like that morning after the Logies, Karl Stefanovic, and that's what you know when he reached God level before he was just kind of a bit of a putz. If he was on a Happy Days character, if he was on a Happy Days episode, he would probably get called a putz on one stage. And it was kind of like, you know, yeah, I did it for the podcast.
So you feel like this kind of legitimized you in the eyes of the podcast listeners?
I know that's usually like...
Because that was a turning point for Stefanovic.
Yeah.
If you want to continue with that analogy.
I was kind of workshopping it for a while and everyone was like, you know, you save that for like episode the 40s at least. They've got to get to know you and you're like your flaws before you do that. And
yeah.
I was like, no, you know.
People are listening and you talk about Spider-Man. They're like, this Truscott guy is such a bloody dag.
Yeah. And I was like...
And then you show up with a few bloody West Coast coolers under your belt and suddenly they're like... Man, Truscott's got edge. He's a hip guy. He's just like me and my mates.
Just real, lots of high fives on the train the next morning is all I know. And I know all those earphones were tuned to the hip podcast, Hey Fam.
Angus, how much of last week's episode do you remember recording?
So this is the great thing about getting completely, and I don't encourage it by any means. And if you have a problem, we should probably stick a disclaimer like at some point of the episode.
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe we'll go 5 minutes silence at the end, then put it in. Just at least that's legally binding. But I edit the podcast because I do that like as a job. I edit other people's podcasts in a way. And so I do it. It's easy.
In a way. In a way, we all edit people's
in
podcasts.
In a way, we're all editors. We all edit the world the way we want to see it.
Angus is so spiritual now that he's sober.
No, I've just moved on to the hard stuff.
I would argue that he was way more spiritual last week.
Wait, what was I even saying? Oh, yeah. Wait, what was the question again? Oh, yeah, no.
He's back.
No, that's a thing with, like, memory, with blackout.
You were, because I got here the day before you put it up, and you told me, you're like, man, I was so drunk when we did the podcast.
It was the morning, I think, you were here, and I was editing it. Yeah.
So I listened to it expecting you to be drunk, but... Good God, and you're so slurry and you're so off mic.
The worst thing was my mum messaged me Monday morning after spending the night here. Seriously, on the weekend, she was up for her family 60th. And she just wrote back, listen to the podcast on the way home last night. And still a smiley face. I was like, okay.
Good. Okay, your mum's into it.
I was like, yeah, thanks for the download. Just trying to avoid at all costs
any questions.
The intervention that was about to happen.
Yeah.
Your mum went on a rampage on our Facebook page today.
Oh, yeah, I noticed that.
She liked everything. Thanks so much, Cheryl.
Thanks for draining our bats. But and then she said, maybe you don't have too much to drink next episode.
Try not to drink all day before you do the next one.
Look, man, I said, you know, you've got a really brand... You know, we're getting real pigeonholed with some real knucklehead podcasts.
Yeah.
We just need some bad
ones.
Oh, no, but the next morning I went to edit it and I was like, right, here we go. And I was like, this is great. I feel like... Because I also do another podcast and I get sick of editing because I do it, then edit it straight away. I'm sure you have the same thing.
Yeah, it's the worst.
And you're going, oh, fuck. And not only that, but it's on top of the sound of your own voice. So there's two things. Like, you've got to listen to something you spend an hour and a half doing all over again. Then you've also got to hear your own voice. But I was like, oh, this is great. I haven't heard any of this. And it's just funny the stuff, like the things you go to when you're in autopilot. Again, not glamorizing alcoholism or anything, but the stuff you go to.
No, I think it's okay to be alcoholic if you have a podcast. I'll put it out there. It's completely fine.
It's even in New South Wales.
Being an alcoholic, as long as it leads to content, as long as you're creating content while you're shit-faced,
it's okay.
It was
gonzo, man. I was totally gonzo. I was, you know.
The most gonzo podcast of all time.
But I was just like, there was this one point, and it's only, what, 7 eps in, I'm already quoting. We're already doing a clips episode. But if we're going to throw to a clip, I'm probably not.
See, this is what my podcast has become. I was saying this to you guys before, all we do is just sit around and talk about other episodes of the podcast and things that have happened. You guys have reached that point so early. This is the dream.
It's
the snake eating itself. An analogy that I love way too much, but yeah.
We have 243 episodes to catch up to,
your
podcast.
You guys were you're decent enough to wait a couple of years. We're just jumping in.
Let's get to that one.
We do a drunk show every year that we keep unrecorded and off the record, but you guys just dove right in. You had the mics on.
Only one of us was drunk.
Yeah.
So that was your charm.
That's where the charm lied, I think. Overall, if we're looking at a Venn diagram, if we're doing myself, Henry and Andrew, in the middle, there was just charm, good old-fashioned charm in the middle.
It's weird that you weren't both in the same space. Like, you, Levins, you should smoke ice for the next episode or something like that. We need to hear, because we've heard what you have to do. I roofied myself just before.
Well, the thing
do you
is
feel
I
like
came
raising
in
a child put you in good stead for carrying Angus through the last episode of this podcast?
Yeah, definitely.
I'd like to see Angus doing the heavy lifting with you just off your guts on ice.
That's a good idea,
special,
isn't it? Well, the thing is, I just gave Levins a glass of water, so we think. So we'll just see when that kicks.
There's no ice in it.
Put some molly in there, a term that I know from the TV show True Detective.
Oh, yeah, but that's right.
And the TV show Ballers.
Yeah.
The best thing also, so two things. Really interesting that I leapt to the notion that Keanu Reeves has a really sweet cock. Not sure.
That's definitely my favorite. And also my favorite part.
I'm so adamant.
We were talking about dicks at the end because that was actually not your fault. That was Henry's fault.
Mm. I think I was bad influenced by that stage.
And you said your favorite, the funniest part, your favorite part of a penis is the fingerprint on the top.
But when you think about
it. Hey, first merch idea. That's what you got to get. A drawing of a dick with a fingerprint on the head.
Look, if I had as much, if I was as fluent as I am now in the language known as English, what I was going to say is each tip is probably unique like a fingerprint. And it's like a snowflake. And I guarantee you, for sex crimes, it's all different. I guarantee
you. You've seen that deleted scene from Men in Black where Will Smith puts his dick in the burning machine.
It's not the that thing they used to blank your memories. It's just a big old-fashioned dildo.
Oh, all right.
An old-fashioned dildo.
Yeah. Well, isn't the third one in the 50s or something? I don't know.
And what was the second thing you were going to say?
Oh, yeah. This is. I feel like I got punished for last week, so I had to watch last week's Ballers again. So that was good. It was like, don't worry, every dog has its day, kids.
Yeah. That was your punishment.
Yeah, but should we just, look, get out of the way now. ballers.
Yeah, but before we get there, Hey Fam is a podcast where we talk about TV shows and books and video games and comic books. We invite some friends that are also like those things to come and talk about those things.
Sometimes
with us.
They tell us about things we don't even know about. That's and we're true. All want to get turned on by
like
those
our things. Favorite parts of penises.
Yeah.
And this week we have, we said his name already, Tommy Dasilo, who hosts a podcast in Melbourne, co-hosts the Little Dum Dum Club,
let's
which
call
recently
it Australia's
celebrated.
Premiere Comcast?
Oh, let's not.
Okay.
Comcast.
This is interesting because, and we'll probably touch on this a bit more later after we do the Ballers update, but the way that the three of, or that I met you two was actually through comics.
Well, that's don't true. Worry.
Specifically
I have some
through
props
comics.
Prepared just to incite memory.
But yeah, Tommy.
Stand-up comic.
Little Dum Dum Club just recently turned 250 episodes deep. Mm. And you had a funny live episode.
Yeah, lots of fun.
Tattoos live on stage.
Live tattoos, drinking, giving away Ronnie Chang's old t-shirts.
Sounds like last week's Hey Fam episode. Except Ronnie Chang's t-shirts, it was probably my phone number.
Yeah. Oh, man, what, you should give your phone number.
What tattoo did you reckon you would have gotten last week, Angus?
Keanu Reeves' dick's fingerprint.
On your own.
On my own dick fingerprint. And then I'd frame him.
Oh, that's great. That's so good.
I'd frame him by like just being a Banksy-esque artist by just
Minority what? Report 2.
Yeah. Well, who can predict? Was it like the pre-crime department? Oh, I'm not going to make a pre-cum joke.
Tommy?
Oh. I'll make a pre-cum joke.
Can you?
Yeah, Minority Report 2. Pre-cum.
There we go. Oh,
nailed it.
See, because this guy's on a poster, it's heaps better. If I say it, people just walk away.
Yeah, I think, had I met you before?
I don't think we
had met. Was it a triple
blind date? No.
It was a tray blind date.
Yeah, I was like, I'm coming up to Sydney, let's hang out. It was free comic book day. We met up. We went around the comic stores. Angus was there. And yeah, we had a great, it was a lovely afternoon.
It was great.
Because all your comic stores are pretty, yeah, they're all pretty close together in Sydney.
Oh, man, we've upped the ante in the years since.
We've gone Christopher Columbus.
We now
go
to all the suburban comic book
stores.
They're
way better.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
You can find really rare shit. For example, like the best thing, loot I've ever got was completely deleted. You can find it on Amazon secondhand style for like $60 minimum, but deleted first and only trade paperback published by Virgin Comics, which did not really... I think they went bankrupt basically after this, and it's the Nicholas and Weston Cage, yes, his son's comic called Voodoo Child.
Oh, wow.
Nick Cage wrote a comic.
That's with his son. Awesome.
Yeah, and it's the son, and if you Google Nick Cage's son and you see Nicholas Cage and you're like, he's weird, really weird, and then you see the girl from The Ring and it's, no, that's his son who's in like a death metal band who always has stark white makeup on, like looks like a Kiss.
And what, was this like a free comic book day?
No, this was like free.
The worst free comic book
day
ever.
Yeah, because for people who don't know that, cursed. So free comic book day is, it's pretty self-explanatory, but all the publishers will sort of make up special little giveaways so you can go to...
And it promotes the rest of their comic book line.
Yeah. And so you can go to... There's maybe like, what, 30 or something
different
ones to choose from. And
like
most stores will let you get... I mean,
one or two.
Depends on the... Well, this is the thing. There's a shop in Melbourne called Minotaur. I don't know if you guys have been there, but it's like a big... It's comics, but it's like heaps of pop culture stuff.
Yeah.
And they don't do it. They don't go in on free comic book day.
What a bunch of
the
pricks.
Like, it's
they
so...
Suck.
Because you go into all the other shops, like there's All Star Comics, which is a relatively new one, which is run by
the only place I visit when I'm
ex Comics R Us dudes who started up their own place, and you can like they'll let you get 8 comics on free comic book day, like they want, and you go down and there's a vibe and it's a party and everyone's dressed up, and then you go to Minotaur and they're like, nah, we don't do that,
what
sorry,
a bunch of Nazi pricks,
man, it's so disappointing.
We can give you a 10% discount off this Sheldon from Big Bang Theory bobblehead.
Yeah. And they're one of those places that's selling like American import DVDs.
Yeah.
$80
or
something. Yeah. And it's like, man, the jig's up. We all know how to use Amazon.
Yeah.
We all know how to get Netflix.
Yeah, we all use
this
Netflix.
This isn't sustainable. You can't keep this up.
There's not even such thing as a Minotaur.
But yeah, we met. Oh, should we do? Yeah, let's tell the comic book story. So we met, and we went to Comic Kingdom. That was the first stop.
Comic Kingdom is this fantastically shitty
Liverpool Street
comic book store. It's really old on Liverpool Street in the city.
You'll know it's the one you walk past on the way to Good God and or Darling Harbour, and there's a 20-year-old. It's been there for 20 years. It's so sun like damaged. Batman cutout.
Yeah, that's the best way of saying it. Sun damaged.
Yeah.
The whole place is
sun damaged. Yeah. But we went in, and we kind of, you know, it was like first date style. I was like, we hadn't really met each other, but we bonded. I'm talking about me and Tommy here. We bonded over, and it's still probably one of my favorite entries in my comic collection here. I've just got it out to try and bring back some memory. Batman Digital Justice by, and don't be surprised if you haven't heard of him, Pepe Marino. And
Pepe Marino is actually the green frog that you would know.
He is the green, he's the famous meme. But the big thing that drew my attention to it is a huge banner on the side, and it says computer generated. And the whole blurb on the back goes into how the fact this is the first comic ever been made on computer, which they all are now. Like every bit of coloring, like, it's, you know, they'll have a banner now saying this fucker's not done on a computer, and that's cool. But it kind of looks like a cross between, the whole thing's done on a computer. It's insane. It's set in the future. It's kind of Elseworlds, but not. And
it's published like what, like 80s or something?
Early 90s, so it's 99.
It's when all that sort of like,
it's like Magic Eye
cybery
shit.
Sort of stuff is like really
taking
off. It
looks like a Magic Eye.
It looks like Magic Eye meets with your mum's brought home the school computer for the school holidays and kids' pictures on it. And
yeah.
That seriously was every school holidays for me. It's
so all the characters are computer generated, but because the technology is not really up to scratch yet, and bits of it are pretty shitty looking.
Oh, it's insane. It just looks... I was reading some reviews of it today, and there's quite a few people in defense. They're like, oh, it's like pre-Matrix cyberpunk, and it's like really William Gibson, but it's just, and the plot is amazing. So it's set in the future. It's Jim Gordon's grandson. And why the fuck would he be commissioner? Like, it's just like, get out of Gotham, you assholes. And
he's not like e-commissioner or something like
that. It's internet? Something like that. Yeah, it's like e-commissioner.
And the front cover, to describe it for people listening, is it's Batman and he's on like a motherboard
getting
and he's getting electrocuted by it. Like, it's all the sort of 90s kind of computers are going to take
how's
over
the shot
kind of paranoia.
But being written by someone who's never used a computer before.
Yeah. Well, this is the thing. And is also unaware of the Batman, like, basic plot elements.
The writer was probably told, oh, we're going to make this book on a computer.
Yeah.
And he was like,
sign me up. Yeah. Like, the what I was going to say before, like, because it's all the computer technology isn't quite there yet, every character, and my memory of looking through it the day you got it, Angus, is like every character is just facing straight ahead.
Oh, yeah.
Like, they couldn't work out how to render people sort of on the side.
So everyone
looks like, you know, you're in Doom, you're like your little characters thing down the bottom. It just all looks like that.
It looks like Errol Morris directed it, and that's a really dorky film thing, but he has this way of shooting where everyone's center and staring at you. Everyone is staring at you the entire time. And, you know, perspective was pretty hard, I'm sure. But yeah, the plot's ridiculous. So Jim Gordon's dead.
To spoil it, but the final scene where he has to fight the flying toasters from the After Dark screensavers is probably my favorite Batman villain, I have to say. I'm disappointed Nolan didn't bring any of that in.
The Joker's like a virus, right?
Well, the Joker's saved himself as a virus a couple of hundred years ago, and Catwoman is a pop star, and it's just there's some pills in it. Like, it's really hard to explain. We'll stick up some screenshots on the Hey Fam Facebook and stuff. It's just, there you go. There's an example of everybody staring at you when they're talking. Yeah. It's batshit insane, and I can't bring myself to finish it.
That's a good name for a Batman anthology. Batman Batshit Insane.
Well, like, there you go, DC. That one's for free.
Batman Goes Batshit.
But yeah, that's how we met. And we just joked about that for about 6 months. And we're like,
buy this piece of shit comic?
Angus. There's only one copy.
I'm the real Joker.
There's still like seven at
Comic really?
Kingdom. Yeah.
I thought you bought it all this time.
This is what will date this story. I remember the hot meme at the time was Uncle Dolan.
Yep.
I remember we were all obsessed with quoting Uncle Dolan.
And then you got a DuckTales comic, and all we looked at it, we're just going like, hey, you bought a book.
I wanted to take it home and Photoshop Dolan into every panel.
When are we going to get like the American Pie equivalent for like someone reminiscing about memes through song?
Yes.
Don McLean. Who's it gonna be?
But that is the Flume. Weird thing that like
we make Flume. A Flume reference every episode just because it dates it even more so.
Yeah. But that is the weird thing that you can look back and go,
picking Duck.
That's where we're at now. There are ancient memes. You know what I mean? Like,
oh yeah.
Dolan. Who the fuck, like, doesn't that seem like the most ancient thing of all time?
I drunk him out of my head last week. I don't even know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Memes age quicker than any other substance on this planet.
Yeah. Man, imagine when we're going to be wistful about Pepe. Pepe the Sad Frog.
Yeah, still am.
Pepe Marino.
Now, the funny thing was, when you and I, this is something my friend brings up, you and I were having a conversation about the next time you're staying here.
Yep.
on text. And
oh, you've
like,
already locked it in.
Oh, no, no. This was before this trip.
Okay,
oh,
right. Yeah, yeah.
And then Will said, we're going to get so destroyed or something. Like, I said, I bet if we do it, because for a long period, Levens, Tommy and I, we have a WhatsApp group and all we would do is send peppy memes.
Oh, I love it. Yeah. It's great. The best.
And if you want to join in, we'll give us your PayPal and yeah, you can pay for a week. it's like a Netflix subscription.
We send an average of half a meme a week.
Yeah. At the time, though, when it started, oh, man, it's like we were bringing out the
two
big
and
guns,
a half memes.
At least.
Like Comic-Con style, you have to pay to get a photo with us.
Yeah, yeah. Totally.
Isn't that the saddest thing of all time? You see people put up photos of themselves with celebs.
Here's me with my friend Carrie Fisher. She hates you.
And you know they've had to pay like $50 to line up and get the photo? God, it's grim. Oh, this is it. So we put on the Entourage episode where, this was my choice, where Vince wears a fake cock to pass a drug test.
This is a later episode.
This is like
you know season. You know I tapped out of Entourage pretty early because I look at skinny turtle. I'm like, who the fuck's that?
And we said that next time you said we're like, man, we're so obsessed with this damn frog. We're probably not going to get him tattooed or something like that.
Yeah.
But the worst thing was you and I were getting pretty blue and we're like, let's get it on our dicks. And then we're going, imagine when you're seducing a girl and you show her your little smug frog. And the worst thing was, I don't know if I told you, but I sent that to my friend who I was having another conversation with. Zero context. And all I got is, I'll bring a girl back and show her my little smug frog. So he's just like, what the fuck are you? And I was like, oh, you know what? I'm not even going to explain it. I'm just going to let that one go out there to you. And
Angus,
think,
what are you doing in the memes community?
Yeah, I think we should, every time we meet up, we should just get a tattoo of whatever the hot current meme is.
Yeah, yeah, we'll be
so
like...
So by the end, we're just carving in like Uncle Dolan's and Pepe the Frogs and...
We'll be like the Guy Pearce memento of memes. It's just, don't trust this meme.
Memento.
Yeah, memento. Guys, new podcast, Memento.
Oh, fuck yeah.
Actually, speaking of turtle, discovered the other day, guys, that Jerry Ferreira has a podcast and he's like 60 eps deep at least.
Yeah.
Every episode's in all caps. I don't know how I feel about that.
Yeah. And you definitely spent the time to message me that he had the podcast, but did you spend the time listening to any of it?
I was going to, but the homework of rewatching, the shame and homework of rewatching Ballers twice.
Oh, yeah.
Let's get in. Let's start this show proper.
All right. Take it away. Ballers Sting.
Lloyd! Come in here and show me what's going on Ballers!
Oh, it's a great sting.
It's a good sting. Every week I watch Ballers so you don't have to. It's you know what I read the other day? This really pissed me off and I'm contributing to this. It's the most watched 30-minute show on HBO.
What?
Ever. And I'm like, I don't think they've ever done
ever?
I don't think they've done a 30-minute show since Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Oh, Entourage was 30 minutes.
It's really picked... Well, you know what? It's really picked up the slack from the...
Wait, so ever? So it is...
In the last 10 years.
But it's... So Ballers is more watched than Entourage was.
Yeah.
Wow. That's brutal.
Well, I guess I actually have a real star in it. Like, oh, man, none of these guys...
The Rock is pretty popular.
Fucking brutal.
So what I really...
Have you watched any of Ballers
before, Tommy?
You know what?
Tommy? I heard you guys talk about it on the first episode of this, and so I watched the pilot.
And you're like, oh, it must be good.
Yeah.
You dumb fuck.
I just wanted to go. I was like, you know, I like things that are... I was like, this will be fun because it'll be so shit that it'll be funny.
Yeah.
And it's just bad. Like, I was saying this to you the other day. It's so un-HBO. It's so weirdly, like, not an HBO show. Like, it's not...
It feels like a very jockey CW show.
Yeah, and the fact it's very clearly been made by a committee, and the brief has been, we need to fill the void of Entourage, so we need something that's like male fantasy porn. It's not someone's singular vision of like, hey, here's this story that I want to tell, and here's these characters that I think are
interesting. Focus groups have made it.
This ain't your daddy's singular vision.
But that's so generally not HBO. Like, it's... Oh, man.
It's like, you know, it's their cars, to use a Pixar analogy.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like, yeah, we need this.
Good callback.
If you're a true fan, you'd get that one.
Episode three.
Levens and I cry and talk about Pixar films.
I enjoyed that a great deal.
Yeah, you did. So this is what I learned about Ballers this week. I had two episodes worth, so there's some more, sadly. I learned that I invent so many chores to get out of watching it. I was contacting family members who I haven't spoken to for years. No shit. Just like, hey, thought I'd touch base. How you doing? Just to like not watch Ballers. Rewatching the one from last week, I still got as much out of it despite being completely sober and paralytic, the other one. One thing I did pick up though, and this is really interesting. no one's eaten for the first few episodes. And I was like, that's interesting. Maybe there's some problems there with, maybe that's a bigger issue that I'll discuss later. But no, it's obviously because it all went into this week's episode. Because all everybody eats is lobster and crab. There was four meal scenes, four different people in all of Miami were eating fucking shellfish and expensive shellfish too. And I was just like, you stupid pricks. And that's what I got. Yeah. Oh, also The Rock was...
That's actually the tagline.
That's all I got.
No. You stupid pricks. Yeah.
You stupid pricks.
No, that's my review on the DVD when it comes out on the Blu-ray.
Oh, great. It'll be like, pull quote.
You stupid pricks. Angus Truscott. Hey, fam.
Unfortunately, I'm probably going to get asked to do a director's commentary, a guest appearance. Fuck. Oh, that's right. The other weird bit thing, and I found this kind of weird. And this broke this kind of broke the fourth wall, and I don't think Ballers is in any position to do that right now. Kind of like we shouldn't be in a position to do a blackout drunk episode. But hey, coincidentally enough, it was episode 6 as well. Seriously, I'm starting to see some freaky similarities. The Rock was wearing a shirt that said Rocky Johnson, and that was the name of his father, who was a professional. He was wearing merch of his professional wrestler father from the 70s.
That's,
and I was
weird.
Like, I thought it was weird at first because I saw Rock Johnson. I was like, oh no, he's not wearing like a fiction, like he's not wearing a Rock shirt in a show. And then it was like, oh no, he's being clever about it and wearing his father's. But when you're called The Rock Johnson, your dad's called Rocky Johnson. Yeah, it's kind of...
It must have really taken you out of the scene.
Yeah,
I was like... when I watch Ballers, I forget that I'm watching The Rock.
Yeah, I mean, I too.
The most subtle actor of our generation.
Yeah, and I just thought, you know what, guys, pick up your slack. Save that for what? Episode 250, the tattoos and the...
Yeah, so how many you got left? You got, is it 8 episode?
Well, season? Man, they fucking greenlit it for season 2, so I'm going to be doing this for at least next year. But
you'll get a break, you'll get a big... There's always big breaks in HBO
do
HBO
shows. 12 episodes for a 30-minute thing? Like, is that their usual comedy thing? Like, 12 eps? They don't do more than that, I think.
I don't know, maybe they'll find out that you're like, regretfully doing...
Seriously,
this.
Seriously, they're
going
to be
really
like...
fuck you up.
It's like that Fam. Simpsons episode where someone scans the book and it's like, sir, someone just bought a copy. They're like, this kid in Australia keeps watching the same episode. Like, I've got to stop drinking so I can't re-watch Ballers episodes to, like, insinuate that it's popular.
Well, that's the thing. Will it take off here? Because it's like... Because it's all so focused on American football.
Not even that. It's focused on like one state. Not even a state. One suburb of Miami, Florida. Like, yeah. It's so...
American football is the bane of me trying to get people into one of my favorite shows, Friday Night Lights.
Same here.
Because
yeah.
Everyone goes, oh, no, I don't get Gridiron. But it's like, man,
it's not about that,
don't.
Man.
It's just...
Do
it's
four
just
characters
background.
Eat shellfish in one episode?
Oh, good question.
If they could afford shellfish, you know, Dylan wouldn't be in the position it would be.
I think all the meals that they eat across the whole 4 seasons of Friday Night's probably
barbecue.
Equals one shellfish dinner.
Oh, totally. It's all very meat and 3 veg and barbecue once they start getting African-American characters into the show.
Yes.
Which kudos to them jumping to a cable channel and letting them take on the tricky issue of
race.
When
all of a sudden they go into here we are now in the African-American part of town.
So the thing was, it was on a network channel for years, first 3 seasons, and the creators really want to do this whole like racial tension, like why do the poor people live here and why also coincidentally are the poor people usually African-American and the rich people white, and they're like, no, too tricky. So as soon as season 4 started, there's this whole other suburb next door. The town's called Dillon, and there's a town called East Dillon, which you've never heard about before. And it's like, that's when the show reaches god level, I think.
Right.
Like, when it just like becomes about the stories they really, the creators want to tell.
It was pretty great. Yeah.
It's amazing. Yeah.
Those, oh man, it's the best show. It's so good.
Yeah. You've really got to get into that.
You should start a podcast about Friday Night Lights.
Already
that's
done
such
it.
Such a great idea.
if you're ever bored and want to
host it with Scott Dooley.
Oh man, I love Scott.
Already
like that show.
Guys, this is kind of awkward. kind of got that one.
Let's move on from Ballers to another HBO show, which also had its 6th episode.
Seventh
episode this week.
Tome
seventh and second
Detective.
Last.
Oh no, the only reason I said 6 because I rewatched last week.
Of course. Sorry. Yeah.
Did
you have to rewatch True Detective from last week as well?
No, I watched that.
You watched that
the day before.
No,
yeah. I let Velcoro do the.
You actually, I think you say that in the. In last week's episode,
I let Velcoro do the drinking.
The one.
Or in this case, the hoovering of cocaine.
Can I make a suggestion? You should, in honor of last week's episode of True Detective, instead of reviewing a Ballers episode,
review Friends.
You should review Friends. Because it's always on.
You can always find a channel where it's on, apparently. I don't know. Vinci just must have some fucked up cable deals. It's like the Friends package.
I have like friends that I went to school with, and you'll go to their place and they'll be like, hey, do you want to watch Friends? And you're like, why?
What? Sorry, my house is on fire. Yeah. I have to go attend to it.
I don't know. I thought I'd look out your back window for half an hour instead.
I'm going to really contemplate who my real friends are. But yeah, True Detective this week, second last of season two.
Mm.
And I'll tell you what, for people who I personally think have been complaining very early on without watching this as a whole, a hell of a lot's been happening recently, which I think if you've tuned out, you're probably going to miss out on a lot of this.
This is an incredible payoff episode.
We did get a lot in this one. Yeah, I have to say, I'm with you guys. I've been enjoying it a great deal, even though I have literally no idea what's going on with this fucking case. I do not know.
I don't know what's going on at all.
I follow that pretty well. Like, because they'll do, once an episode, they'll just do this massive
exposition
info
chat.
Dump.
Yeah, yeah,
and
true.
You just have to pay attention to that part.
I mean,
and
look,
then you're fine.
Yeah.
Explain it to me like I'm five. It's like diamonds got stolen in the 90s because of race riots. The guys who stole those diamonds used that as like collateral to get this dodgy land deal.
Mm-hmm.
A gangster went in on that land deal, but got screwed over by a Russian dude.
Well, you've left out the important part that when those diamonds got stolen.
Oh, two kids. They were Bruce Wayne. They watched their parents get killed who owned the diamond store. Dodgy land deal. They used those diamonds as collateral. Guy who was mastermind of said diamond heist had his balls blown off by a dude in a bird mask and his eyes burned out. True detectives are solving it. Girls have sex in like sexy parties with also said people who did that diamond heist 20 years ago. Kids are probably the killers.
Possibly.
Orphan kids? Is that the thing we're kind of thinking now?
Or possibly the policeman who shot our boy Woodrow.
Yes.
He possibly is the bird mask wearing man.
Yes, yeah, yeah. Velcoro's boss.
Of course, the detective, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Damn.
The false detective.
Yeah, this episode was hectic. I mean, I don't care if it's spoilers. Like you've really had
by now. I mean, I've stopped listening to this show so I could go and catch up on the episode.
And if you haven't done that,
and for those of you that don't listen because we talk about True Detective so much, you've got one more week.
Go back to regular.
And then I want to do an episode with someone that I know that passionately hates this.
You know what? I was going to say this. I know someone as well, and I think we're probably thinking of the same person.
I know about 10 people.
Let's get them all on. Let's do it like a Q&A episode.
But we'll only give them one microphone between them.
You and I can be Tony Jones on Q&A, and we'll have the panel of these guys. You can send in your tweets.
And we know people can call in.
Yeah, yeah, cool.
Yeah, I've got a question for the woman who didn't like True Detective season two.
What's with the stains on the roof?
Did you find it weird? And again, like I like noticing things like this. It doesn't mean that it's ruined it for me. I don't want to be a nitpicky asshole, but I did find this funny. So Woodruff, he's inside in the tunnels,
yep.
and he's fucking sneaking up on people, and he's taking people out.
He's going like what Velcoro called them in that shootout episode. He's become a god warrior. Yeah. Right? So he's like the kid was a goddamn
and
god
he's like,
warrior.
He takes a gun off that guy. Then what undoes him is he just walks out the door and goes, oh, well, that's all done. No more danger out here. And just gets taken out in the most fuckboy way of a guy just waiting behind the door from him. Like, doesn't that seem weird that he would go from being like action warrior
his lover's head just acted as a stack hat for a bullet for him, so maybe maybe his Black Mountain training was not as
his lover's
the guy Miguel, the guy was in the photos with him, the guy that led him to the catacombs.
He was like
dude, Black Mountain still exists but we work for Catalyst now, like they're basically a private army that the cops and everyone own. And he took the big chunk. Maybe it was a bit shaken. I don't know. I'm giving him the benefit of the doubt here. But he did go out like a sucker.
Yeah, and he knew it. He was like, no, no.
And he just said, fuck you. I thought that was baller.
Do you think this is going to be like the final episode? Like, I wonder how much they are really listening to or give a shit about what people think of past seasons. Like, do you think because people felt like last season was building up to this big thing, and it's sort of like, you know, a lot of people felt let down by it. Do you think they're going to go crazy in this last season? Because they've already got, Vince Vaughn's character like taught like the beating the shit out of his little henchman.
This is
guy
the
with
Vince
the
Vaughn character
and
that,
torching
you know,
it. And
what I think also, it's really interesting because all the characters now have reached the characters that once were before the show started. Is what I found. Like Ray's a good cop now.
Yeah,
Annie's gotten over. No, that's a horrible thing to say. She hasn't gone over, but it seems like a lot of the people have gone back to the perfect version of themselves, and the whole series was about being this worst version of yourself, and the kind of Vince Vaughn was a little bitch in a big scheme, but now he's gone back to his, like, you know, he's a gangster and he's gone back to like Woodrow's smashing dead. Dudes in the head. Woodrow's dead.
Just like he always
Woodrow's
wanted to
dead,
be.
Woodrow's dead, but, you know.
He did.
He died with his lover, in a way, you know. Like, yeah. I don't know. But it's kind of like these people have gone back and now we're finally seeing the things they alluded to. I don't know. I think that's pretty cool. But I think yes, because it's a 90-minute finale.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I think it's going to be like an action.
It's going to be like a movie.
Right, okay. Yeah. And they didn't do that first season, did they?
No, it was the last season finale. It was like 60 minutes.
I hope it's just 90 minutes of just pure Chad.
Chatting out, just ordering pizzas.
We literally don't see a single. It's just a day in his life.
Him watching 3 episodes of Friends.
What happens when Chad finds out?
Mystery
Friends?
Science Theater style, where he's just doing his commentary over the top.
And every time the intro plays, he fucks up the clap.
Yeah. And then Shame eats an entire pizza. Is Chad?
You heard it here first. I'm calling it. I'm calling it. That's what it's going to be.
Is Chad discovering
Chad is the fat redhead kid son, of Velcoro.
Raymond Velcoro.
That's a show I want to see. Chad and Velcoro. I want them both opening doors at the same time shrugging. He finally gets rights to the sun. That'll be a bloody great spin-off. But are we saying that Chad discovering that Friends ends at season 9 might force him to be the murderer of True Detective season 3, perhaps?
Do you think Chad... Do you think Chad knows that Joey exists, like the spin-off?
I think when Chad discovers that...
You never hear people talk about that anymore. I wonder if he's like that, if he's gone that deep.
I think Chad is like the main admin on the Friendopedia, Central Perkopedia, Wikiperkia, whatever it's called. I bet
Wikiperkia.
You, he is the main admin.
One of my favourite things about this city of Sydney is that you have a hostel in the middle of the CBD called Central Perk that that has the same logo as the Central Perk Cafe in Friends.
There you go, NBC.
It's the most bizarre thing. And it's just a hostel. It's a backpacker's hostel. Yeah, there you go.
Your life's broke, you Joe.
This hostel looks okay.
Fuck, write this down, kids.
It's $30 a day.
I thought this episode was short. I was getting real Michael Manny / like Dark Knight Rises vibes with the tunnels and shit, and the way it was cutting between people making all these plans and leading to something.
Yeah, like I think the what I enjoy the most about True Detective season 2 is that I know a lot of people. I don't think it's trying to be anything more than just like a Law and Order episode on ecstasy.
It's a cable version of a network cop show. You know, and it's doing the things you can do, like have nudity, it's like swear,
Nick,
do drugs.
Nick Pizzolatte.
Nick Central Percolatte.
It's like
Nick Tribbiani.
He read stayed up drinking Monster Energy drink for an entire night.
And just reading.
And read every single Raymond Chandler book.
Oh, totally. Yeah. I mean, the guy teaches crime. He's a professor of literature and he taught crime fiction like at colleges and stuff. Like he's kind of like a renowned. He has a boner for gumshoe detectives, basically.
I feel like that people were so upset by that Blue Balls of the Heart line.
It's great. It's corny as fuck.
It's corny and it's shit, but that sums up what this season is trying to be for me. Like,
can I, you know, I've read a lot of stuff about people thinking that the script is shitty and all that stuff. And, you know, and people get so down on shows when characters say, you know, dumb, goofy stuff. Real people talk like that.
Yeah.
There are real people out there that talk like fucking idiots.
Also,
like, not every character in every show has to speak poetry every line. Like, when there's a goofy thing, it's like, I totally know people that talk that way.
Also,
like, that's fine.
Frank's not like a well-educated, he doesn't have a degree in literature or something.
Yeah.
Right?
He's trying to
be an impressive businessman.
Exactly, and you feel like he's read like a bunch of inspirational quotes.
And every morning
he fucks them up
and he tries to
mumbles them all together.
Definitely.
He would have gone to like one session of AA like dozens of times, you know.
And you can tell he's like read, he's got like 100 greatest quotes by, you know, like politicians or so. And he's like read them and he's like, oh yeah, that was Roosevelt, what a great like thinker. Yeah. And just tries to regurgitate them and get some more. And it's, you know, it's maybe we're looking into it too much, but if that's the case, then that's that great character.
Like, I'm predicting that 2-3 years from now, there are going to be so many think pieces about
True Detective season two.
How much better True Detective season 2 is in retrospect. And
yes,
that, it's like we
that
said,
it was so underrated.
It's second album syndrome.
Like, but that said, I'm not singing its praises more than it needs to. No. I just think it's like a pretty fun.
I have as much
thing,
fun
like,
watching
everyone
it.
Now, like. We're so spoiled by how good TV is on the whole.
Yeah.
The people think that every show that comes along should be life-changing and the best thing of all time. Mm. It's okay to just, enjoy watching something every, you know what I mean? Mm. Not everything has to be fucking amazing.
But I will say that season one, it lost me when it became a bit more like a procedural cop show towards the end.
Yeah.
There's one episode where it's really, really...
I think it was the second to last episode. Yeah. I've got to say, one thing that I loved about season one was the time jumping. But then I thought that'd be like a technique that lasted the whole series. But then when they lost the time jumping, it just became set in the now.
That's right. And then
that's when it became classic procedure.
And I was like, no, this kind of sucks.
But it didn't suck. It was still great. But I think we were so, not spoiled, but we saw a procedural crime show done in such a weird backwards way.
I just feel like for me, and I'm enjoying this season. I enjoyed last season. I wasn't crazy for it. I think the episode 4 where they had the one long shot.
I love that so much.
To me, I was like, this is amazing. And then everything else after that, I was like, oh, okay. For me, it just feels like the show on a whole, it's like you sort of say that it's like just pulp and it's just trying to be pulp. But then they'll get into these things where characters are doing these big, weird kind of big proclamations and big, deep kind of thinking where it's sort of, for me, it feels like it's always kind of straddling the line between those two things. Like it can't quite decide.
It doesn't want to be just a pulpy cop show.
If it's really going higher, if it's like just, it sort of hovers back and forth.
I think,
and maybe that's fine, but
he's just a sucker for those books, you know, like that genre. And it's just him going, you know, he chooses not to have inner monologues on the show. Like you never hear voiceovers, and maybe that's his way of kind of, I mean, it's very operatic. It's very, you know, it's very kabuki style. Like people do say how they're feeling, and they're very like
so many signatures.
Yeah.
That was my,
you know,
favorite.
I think has been, oh, that was insane.
Say what you
There's
see,
signatures
Paul.
All over this thing.
Come on, mate.
Fuck.
We know you torched Afghanis, but come on. This is, you work, but seriously, he works as a, what does he work as? He's a, like a fraud inspector now. It's like, you look at these all day.
Insurance.
Like, insurance detective. Yeah. Like, you look at, all you do is look at signatures, dog. Like, it's not Black Mountain, we get it. But still.
You know who I think the unsung hero of the show is? Old mate T-Bone. He's doing the music dude.
Music guy.
Oh, T-Bone, we've talked about that before.
Opening credits.
He's doing some amazing work.
Opening
this
credits
season,
are
I
bloody amazing. I love
credits
that opening
credits
song.
I really like. The score, though, there's so many bits in this show that it just all the score is really doing the heavy lifting.
Yesterday, totally last night's recent episode, the score in parts, I think it was just like, it was kind of this droning thing. It never got annoying, but it never took away from the scene.
Well, it just ramped you up every time.
It just ramped you up. It was like, it happened when like Frank was beating the shit out of his redhead bro. Oh, and it
was great.
Oh, amazing scene. Like, that was finally the Frank I wanted to see. And it made me actually, you know, think Stan was pure gold as well.
I think Vince Vaughn is like, I think he's fine.
He's
great.
You know
what I found is very weird? Every time there's a bit where he's walking from A to B, he literally looks like he's never taken a step in his life. Like, he looks like he's walking for the first time.
Do you think Vince Vaughn doesn't walk?
Go back and watch it. It's there's something about him that is just the most unnatural walk I've ever seen on film.
Look, and this
it's
isn't a
insane.
Dig at Vince, but he does kind of resemble Frankenstein's monster. I mean, opening scenes of that classic Hollywood jag is this great big thing trying to learn to walk. I don't know.
Yeah.
I really like Vince Vaughn in True Detective.
He's sick. Yeah, I think he's baller.
He's fine.
I'm still like fan. I'm president of the Velcoro, like president of the fan club.
Except his voice like makes me kill myself laughing sometimes. There's a there's an internet sketch group called Magic Hugs.
Oh yeah.
Who used to make videos back a couple years ago, and they have one where it's like a homeless guy who finds a phone and then starts a friendship with Siri, and he's like, Siri, you know, can you do this? Can you? And he sounds just like Velcro.
Oh, right. Great.
I'll put it on.
Yeah,
our
right.
Facebook
no,
page.
We'll put it on there. Yeah, stick it up. So I don't know. After being a human hoover for cocaine for like God knows how long and sucking back cold ones, I'm like, yeah, that voice is great.
Yeah.
It's just when he says little tiny bits of fragments and sentences like within, like on the phone or in conversation, like, well, you tell him, come get here. And you're like, what? What did he just say?
Yeah. There's some crazy accent work going on.
I am excited. I saw the trailer for next week. There's a great shot of just Velcro riding escalators, and it looks like it could be a mall or an airport, but he's just got a big old 10-gallon hat on and like double denim. And I was like,
great.
Yeah, if that's the last shot of the series, I tip my hat to you. Like, that is...
I have this theory, and this is jumping way ahead, but I reckon season three, reckon they've... The flack that they've gotten for this series, going from being the golden child of television to, you know, regardless, like, we think it's good, but there's been a lot of hate on the internet about it.
It's like universally panned. Yeah.
Season three, I reckon they're going to regroup and they're going to go, right, we've got to we've got to do something fucking incredible. No, like, we've got to get back on top.
No, all they'll do is just get McConaughey back.
You reckon?
Yeah. They'll just remake season two with McConaughey playing all the characters.
That would be pretty special.
It's just, yeah, you know, that first series is great and it's amazing. And it was right time, right place. Yeah. But, like, you can tell it's kind of like they've gone, oh, shit, let's give the kid everything he wants. He wants, you know, you do your own series. We're not going to come in with focus groups or, you know, produce. We don't even want to see the scripts. You just shoot it and we'll put it out. And, you know, now they're going to be like, let's have a chat. Let's maybe suggest some thing. You know, I don't know.
What do you reckon they'll do? Do you reckon they'll go, like, way back? Do you reckon they'll go, like...
Go back in time? Yeah, that'd be like, great. That'd
part
be
of
cool.
the
country,
like, you know, part of the country or... Yeah.
That'd what about sweet.
New York, 1950s or something?
About sheriffs, like Wild West.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Wild West.
Giant mechanical spider, anyone? Jim West, Desperado, Rough Rider.
As long as Chad's in it, I'll be happy.
Yeah, Chad is the truest detective.
Yeah, Chad should be in every episode of every season from now on.
We all should, you know, we all have a Chad, I think. One day we could all have a Chad.
I mean, we're all a little bit Chad in some
way. We're all a bit chatty. Sometimes we just want to Netflix and chill. We don't want Dad to ask how we feel.
Dad's coming in trying to give you bloody models of fucking Apache of war death planes, helicopters and shit, you know.
He should have given that to Woodrow, the bloody murderer. He loves war machines.
If only they made Friends models.
Yeah. Yeah, just a little big, diorama.
Just a massive life-size.
Look, it's Phoebe's
David
apartment.
David Schwimmer.
I would make a life-size Schwimm dog.
Yeah, I built it with my boy.
That's a good Velcro.
It is very good. Schwimm fan.
Did you guys watch any other TV in the last week? The Wet Hot American Summer prequel.
That's exactly
was on Netflix. How far into it did you guys get?
We
knocked off the whole season in this very
room. I'm still only on one episode.
Shit. See, Tommy's been staying here a week, but yeah, we kind of knocked it over 2 days or something.
Okay, so don't spoil anything, but I loved the first episode and I have the feeling that it stays as good as that the entire way through.
Yeah,
it's, I mean, you know what? This is the hard thing. It's kind of, like, I was reading a review of just one episode today, I think on the AV Club. Mm. It's hard to judge how good something is episode by episode when you binge it in the way that we did.
I can't differentiate.
Because to me, it just runs into
We ran into a problem. We're like, have we seen this one? We're trying to judge by the descriptions. And we're like, I don't know. I think we've watched this one before. Like,
but it's weird how the AV Club will do that. It's like, yeah, but... It doesn't matter. Like, you're not waiting week to week. It doesn't matter if this one was good. Oh, what's going to happen? It's you can just go straight into the
next one. It wasn't written to be, you know, later be syndicated as a weekly series. Yeah. Like, it was written to be binge. Like, to me, it's like a 3-hour movie or whatever.
But it is. It's fantastic. And the end gets, like, it sort of settles into a bit of a rhythm. And then the back end, all this extra weird, crazy stuff comes in. Yeah, man, it's so satisfying. And as someone who loved the movie, like, it's funny. Like, it's... My friend rewatched the movie and he said, I reckon the series is funnier. Probably, I mean, it's longer, so there's more of it, but...
More character development, I guess, in a sense. Yeah. What I love about it too, and it's probably on purpose, I think it doesn't get too cute in the sense, like, you have to watch the movie to get it all. Like,
I reckon you could see it having not seen the movie.
I watched the first episode with my wife, and she's seen the movie, but not for a while. We may have been drunk when I showed it to her. But,
Episode 6. Watching things drown.
Oh, yeah, pulling a Truscott. Yeah. I get it.
No, honey, it's really funny. If one of us is sober, you.
But she was like, oh, I think I need to watch it again because you're laughing at all the jokes and I feel like I'm not getting them. I'm like, oh, no, nothing that I've laughed that's been like...
Like a reference, cute reference.
Yeah.
But what's the genius of it is it's a prequel. And then for people who are like, I think this is great. They're like, that was great. And then they've got a whole movie set the day after. And I think that is what's awesome. And then they'll be like, oh man, that's funny now.
I definitely think it's like more satisfying that you see the way that certain things are set up. Like there's a bit at the end that is a reference...
To the song?
You guys were talking last week about how that song is that's in the movie higher was written for the movie.
Yeah, yeah.
I didn't know that. I just always assumed that was just like
They've
an old
just pressed it to 7-inch and I just paid way too much money to get my own copy.
Oh, really? Because of the series?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, because it featured, like, you kind of
see... Well, you
see
that there's a lot of that in the genesis of the series, which, again, I didn't really remember that was a thing from the film. And I'm like,
it's pretty much the only song that plays in the movie. And they just play bits of it like whenever something exciting is happening.
You kind of see,
but
the genesis.
It's so funny, and the fact that I mean, God, we're so spoiled at the moment, where like that we live in a time where this movie comes out, and like I was reading up on it the other day, it was annihilated when it came out. Mm. Like,
didn't make any money, and critics hated it.
Yeah, and yet here we are, however long down the line, and we get a prequel series. Like, the fact that we have these means is just
so. This is like
so cool.
People make shows now, not for four guys in suits at a network. Like, this is why True Detective got made. I'm sure for the same reasons, because they know there's an audience.
The fat dickheads like us.
Yeah, it's a Kickstarter thing, you know. It's like, you know, if people want a game like Shenmue 3 or something, like some weird game that hasn't a bit, sequel was made 15 years earlier, a prequel, I mean. People, if there's an audience, people will be like, you know what, I'm going to watch it.
And but
like,
yeah, it's awesome. For anyone who hasn't seen the movie, and I definitely watch the movie and then watch the series. Both on
it's
Netflix,
hilarious. We laughed out loud.
It's awesome. Yeah, and get some bros, you know, you can, get some
there's
beers.
There's a quicker way to say that.
Oh, can you please tell me?
Lol.
Is this a new segment?
Yeah, my new segment. There's a quicker way to say that.
Yeah, there's a quicker way of saying that. I'm into it. I can't wait to hear next week's. But yeah, watch it with some bros. Have some brewskis, but not too much.
Yeah.
Don't do an episode
or you'll
six.
Have to watch it all again.
Yeah.
Don't pull a six.
You know what? I actually did watch the first two episodes, like drunk with Stevie, our tech guru, and we had to rewatch them the next morning. But that was fine because you hadn't seen them.
I hadn't been here that night.
I thought one of the most fantastically just satisfying bits was just how pretty much every character doesn't really look like significantly older.
Oh, except
Michael Showalter's guy is so fantastic.
Has he had some like has it been a traumatic experience?
Is he okay?
Is he shame eating or like what's
happening? Nah, leave him alone. I think it's fantastic. It's just, I mean, well, he's
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
He hasn't really been in much in the last
it's true.
Five,
I
six
mean,
years.
Is it the Michael Showalter.
But man, in general, it is a cast of people who've
drink like virginal blood.
Some fucking pretty good care. Like Paul Rudd.
Paul Rudd. He does
Elizabeth
not look
Banks.
Like a... Yeah,
yeah, even like, Bradley Cooper looks identical to how he looks in the first
Bradley
one.
Bradley Cooper, yeah. I can never remember her name. Paul Rudd's girl.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway, whatever her name is.
Yeah, she looks amazing. Yeah.
Katie. She looks the same.
Also, shout-outs to Netflix for hiring all the out-of-work Mad Men actors. I thought it was great that three or four people.
Oh, yeah, of course. Heaps, yeah, yeah.
It's just like, oh, cool. They all got a job after Mad
Men.
Well,
they're all bros. They're all comedy bros. All
yeah, John Hamm started off in all comedy circuit stuff. It was great. And just
Slattery
getting
well.
All those people back together is
And they even got Sam Levine to overdub
to
his voice.
Yeah,
yeah.
The DJ. And that's why he's got like the beekeeper thing on so you can't see his mouth moving.
Because I read the story about that was, they shot it and then the director called up Sam Levine and was like, oh shit, I hired the wrong kid. Can you come and redo it? Can you dub him over?
It's
I didn't
amazing.
Know that about the movie.
David Wayne.
What?
The director.
David Wayne.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I said, right?
You just said the director. That's weird.
Oh.
It's like when
the director,
Angus, that's
David
when Angus called me Andrew earlier in the show.
Yeah, no, I was getting very formal there.
I did have a moment where I went, who the fuck's he talking about?
Fuck, what was I going to say? I had a... one thing I was reading about the series, as we all were knee-deep in shitty think pieces, but... David Wayne was saying that they pitched it to Fox and shot a pilot like maybe 5 years ago, and it's a shitty. There was no sex jokes. There was no drug.
Yeah, because it's network.
It was network, and they're basically like imagine the best thing about this show is it's goofy as fuck. It's so slapstick.
Yeah.
It's like sometimes like there's elements of like the Marx Brothers almost. It's like goofy.
It wouldn't
like,
work. It wouldn't work on TV in a format where people are going to accidentally stumble across.
That'd be like
it
this is a poorly written comedy. Like it'd be the Big Bang Theory,
and the
or
fact
something.
That it's on a thing where it's like. If you see it and you're like, oh yeah, I've always heard the movie of that is good. You've got access to the movie right there. You know what I mean? Like
that's
it couldn't.
Great.
It's just an awesome thing that has happened. Like you said, like what a bizarre age we can live in now, where a movie that bombed and like you know, probably fucked
failure
up some
gets
people.
Rewarded.
Yeah,
like Arrested Development has a cult following, but just ate shit in the ratings. Like in any other time, it's like, yeah, that show was a fucking
every
failure.
Season was cut in half. Like it was.
I'd love to see them do bring back Freaks and Geeks, but in the way that they've done with Wet Hot American Summer,
the day before the first episode. Just... Well, Seth Rogen like just puts on weight overnight, or something
like
that.
Bring back Seth, bring back Jason Segel, which totally would not fit the tone of that show at all.
It'd be amazing.
Well, Sam Levine still looks exactly the same.
Sam Levine looks the same. Yeah.
He looked like a grown man when it was on originally, so they've all just caught up to him, I think.
Do you know that Sam Weir, so John Francis Daly, I think his name is. He's just directed the Vacation reboot.
Oh, really?
Which apparently is a piece of shit.
Is it really?
Which makes me bummed because they're writing the new Marvel Spider-Man reboot standalone movie.
Oh, right.
Really?
Yeah.
That sucks.
But
I don't like I never saw any of the Vacation movies growing up, so I don't really. I know some people I know are very heavily invested in the remake.
Yeah, so you've just grown up being like, why do people give Chevy Chase a pass?
pretty much, yeah.
The first three were just, I've seen them like, I can't even count how many times, like just other people's houses.
My
houses.
Entry point to the series was Vegas Vacation.
Oh, I feel bad for you.
Such
and
a bad movie.
Yeah.
Is this one, this new one, is it the
reimagining?
Kid?
Yeah,
the kid's son. Grown up, the son's, the son. And who's he? Who's
Ed
playing
Helms.
Him? Ed Helms, right.
Because the joke with the movies was they always recast the kids in every movie. They've never had the same actors. It was always Beverly D'Angelo and Chevy Chase were the parents, and they would just recast the kids. But now, he's the kid, and he's going on it. And I mean, it's like, I think it was pretty much probably greenlit and just given legs because 21 Jump Street shocked the hell out of anybody. And it's just kind of like, oh, wow, we can make that goofy old idea work again. But apparently it's not working. Sorry,
ooh,
fam.
Oh, boy.
But yeah, I'm kind of pissed that they're... Not pissed, but worried about they're doing
Spider-Man.
So
it's come out in the States and that's where you've heard that?
You're probably
a loud
not,
bunch, the Yankees.
You're probably not hearing about it because the...
down the river.
A little movie came out just before it that's been getting even worse reviews, which is Pixels, the Adam Sandler
man.
Video
you
game
know
movie.
What? I was saying to Angus the other day, I'm so bummed that... Because it's out now in the States and it's not out here at the same time because we so... It would have been so good to
I've always wanted
to
have
the show.
A mass suicide to rival the Jonestown Massacre. Like, all of us go and just go,
come
on, guys.
The one fault of the Jonestown Massacre was that no one was podcasting.
No, definitely.
That's the real letdown
of
that
recording.
Situation.
I mean,
and then the other letdown was that they didn't watch Pixels.
Man, oh, God. Because you know what? For me, and I think, we're all roughly the same age. So, I mean... Yeah. Adam Sandler in his peak, like Billy Madison, Happy Gilmore.
It's like Jim Carrey at his peak.
I grew up on that shit. Yeah. It's such a formative part of my childhood, as is video games. It's two things that you love, just that you have such a soft spot for in your childhood, just
and plus
coming
Josh,
together to ruin each other.
Josh Gad.
Josh Gad was great as Olaf the Snowman in Frozen, am I right, boys?
Kevin James is in the highest grossing movie from Sony Pictures of 2015, Paul Blart, Mall Cop 2.
Is that really the highest gross? Yeah, because I read this horrible article on how bad things are at Sony.
Yeah, it's that bad. Well, that's why
because I didn't know until recently because I'd seen the short film of it, which is awesome.
Yeah, the short film's great.
I haven't seen it.
It's fantastic.
It's really, really cool. And I didn't know until very, very recently, I saw they were making a film of it. I'm like, oh, yeah, based on the short film, I can see that. That would be cool. And then, it wasn't until a month ago that I realized that it was, and not only that Adam Sandler was in it, but that it was a real Adam Sandler vehicle. It's got his sort of what is now his style of comedy branded across it.
That doesn't work now.
Adam Sandler's played a fucking video game in his life.
No, wait. The only video game he's played.
Played Space Invaders. The fuck are you talking about?
Mrs. Pac-Man.
Angry Birds Wedding Singer.
Oh, I'm the ghost. I'm coming to get you, Mrs. Pac-Man.
And then you'll hump the where you put the quarters in.
Oh, God.
Yeah, what we say, formative years?
That probably happens
in
the
Pixels.
Movie.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
How many?
He's not goofy Adam Sandler anymore. He's just smug, old cunt
He's trying to be an action hero, which is so weird.
No, guys, come on. He started in a 9/11 movie. I think he's got a bit of acting chops.
That 9/11 movie is great.
Is
Are you talking about Rain Over Me?
With him
Little Nicky.
Oh, sorry, you meant the 9/11 of movies.
Yeah, no, the movie Osama bin Laden saw and said, come on, boys. I know 9/12 was the date we agreed on, but fuck, can we speed this up?
Let's let's run this Twin Towers thing up the pipe, eh? What do you reckon?
I know Christmas Day was going to make a big impact. But
let's
bump
it up. All right, let's bump it up.
And I thought I was only going to do one podcast in my life about based entirely around 9/11 jokes.
I was such a big fan of Adam Sandler growing up. Like, I loved everything he did. And a common thing with me, if I like something and it starts to go a bit shit, I'll kind of still desperately cling to it after everyone else has kind of bailed off.
Oh, that's the basis of this podcast in True Detective Season 2.
I was still heavily in defense of Little Nicky when it came out. I liked how insane it was. Like,
I only know it. I used to work in a video store as a teenager, and I only remember it from the trailer that would play every 17 minutes on our loop tape.
Mm-hmm.
And I just remember the one gag that is the Coke and the Pepsi. The most evil thing you can do is turn a Coke into a Pepsi.
Oh yeah, yeah.
That's my takeaway.
It's real stupid. I'm sure if I saw it now, I'd probably hate it. But it's pretty. I mean, yeah. But Oh yeah, no. Rain Over Me. Rain Over Me is really good.
You know what?
This is what's disappointing about Sandler, because he's really good in it. Like, it's a dramatic thing, and he's not being goofy.
Punch Drunk Love was amazing. I'm a huge fan of Punch Drunk Love.
It's so frustrating that he didn't just go, "Hey, I'm just gonna be," you know, serious actor guy now, and maybe do kind of like some...
He does occasionally, but I think the reason we're getting such horrible, horrible mainstream crappy comedy movies from him now is because funny people did so badly.
Yeah.
Good point. I also think, here I am going, you know, it's disappointing. The fact of the matter is, those shitty comedies that he makes, they still make money. Like, they still, up until very recently, he was still making... Like, Jack and Jill and That's My Boy, I think, both did pretty well.
That's
box
My
office.
Boy. We were...
Which one's That's My Boy? Is that where he plays every... Is that when he does the clumps remake?
It's like Adam Sandler and Andy Samberg. And Andy Samberg is Adam Sandler's boy. And he decided to go with this really, really nasal Jersey accent for the entire movie. And
I'll say this. I watched it on a plane and I quite enjoyed it.
I watched it while on acid at my Bucks party. for about 90 seconds, and all my friends were just like, when can we change this?
Sounds like a killer Bucks. But I think you have.
Hey man,
it was
a 3-day affair, right?
Okay, only a little bit of that was taken up with. Yeah.
That's what kicked off the procedurals.
I like
every day.
I think you do have a higher tolerance for shitty movies when you're on a plane. There were two bits in it that I loved.
Oh, because they're cut to shit, aren't they? They edited. They cut out like 20 minutes of every movie.
I think it's more just psychologically, you have nothing else to do, so you just are able to.
But I know there are like airplane edits with every movie, like they have to replace. There's like a list. I remember hearing there's like a list where I think Die Hard. The airplane version, Die Hard 2, is apparently hilarious because there's so many integral lines.
Oh, really?
And they've just had to change them because there's references to airports, there's references.
Right.
And it's like a completely different film.
Well, That's My Boy. There's two things in it that I think are genuinely funny. One of them is Adam Sandler's character is constantly saying, "What's up?" And Andy Samberg's like, "Dad, stop doing that. No one does that anymore." And then they have their engagement drinks out in the backyard, and Adam Sandler turns up drunk and goes, "What's up?" And Andy Samberg's like, "Oh, boy." And then this old woman hears him and turns around and goes, "Are we doing that again?" And then within a minute, everyone at the party's going, "What's up?" Like, everyone loves it. Everyone's back into it. That's funny. That's really funny.
Especially when you're like a couple miles high in the sky, I guess.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, had a few cans.
Guys, I don't want to make you think or anything, but in my new segment, Makes You Think, do you want to hear my Adam Sandler Makes You Think?
Yeah.
So this is a succession of movies that Adam Sandler was in from 1994 until, I think, 2002. And my theory was he just made the same movie twice but kind of reversed the title. Like, okay, the first two big movies, Billy Madison, Happy Gilmore. Just a name.
Yep.
The titles.
Yep.
Kind of makes you think.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of.
That's like, makes you kind of...
Wait. Is this your offshoot segment, Kind of Makes You Think?
Yeah. No, that's... Yeah, spin-off. We might have a sting now where it goes, Kind of Makes You Think. And the intensity of making you think will intensify. I was like, all right. I'll let that one pass. That's just probably coincidence. Maybe like you just wanted to call movies after someone's name.
But yeah, this is so long ago. Were you thinking back in the early 90s?
Shit made me think when I was a young kid. I wish I still thought like this. Next two movies, they're named after professions. The Wedding Singer,
yes.
The Water Boy, both with W's. Makes you think a bit more.
Where does this one clock in on the make you think-o-meter?
This one's like, well, it's out of a scale of 10, obviously. We're sitting on about 6 now because of the coincidence of the last two.
The absolute number 10, just to give everyone an example, number 10 makes you think is J.J. Abrams, Jar Jar Binks.
Makes you think. Makes you think. That's going to be available on our website. Episode so it's a t-shirt.
Angus probably doesn't remember saying
No, I
it.
Do. I remember when I was editing.
I remember did. Hearing it. That's what I'm saying.
When you at the end of last week's episode, by the end, when you're just chanting, you're going, makes you think.
Good to know, like, if I'm ever, like, held captive and deprived of any type of, like, sunlight, like, nutrition or anything, like, I'll still just be able to yell, makes you think, and speak about George Lucas's penis to my captors.
I want that as a ringtone, makes you think.
Well, yeah, it's $3 a minute. We'll so set up cheeky. A hotline. But this is when the next, this is when you guys are going to start making you think. All right.
Man, I can't wait to think.
Are you ready?
I can't wait to make me think.
If you've been making think you think right now, you get ready to make you think all over again. Big Daddy, Little Nicky. Nicky.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah.
I hope you guys are sitting down when you listen to this because I just made you think.
I do remember when those came out back to back being made to think. I remember that might have been the first time.
See? And
I
then
was
you dial it back.
Consciously made to think.
Does it keep going?
I stopped watching them then. I just when you're onto a good thing.
You're like, I thought too much.
Yeah. That's when I became like, yeah, I was made to think. But yeah.
How fucked does his Netflix...
Thanks for a fantastic new segment that we're going to do every week now.
How fucked does his Netflix Western movie sound?
Netflix?
Did you read Netflix? About this? All these like Native American actors stormed off. Make you think, that guy racist.
That was kind of racist what you said as well.
I was trying to do a voice. Oh, God.
What I find amazing is that some dildos greenlit that idea after seeing how well A Million Ways to Die in the West went at the box office. Funny Western series with probably like references to Smash Mouth songs. Let's make them. Like, what a bunch of dildos.
Pixels, man. How about the bit in the trailer where... Have you watched the trailer?
Yeah.
The bit where the creator of Pac-Man turns up?
Oh, yeah. And that makes you think too, doesn't it? When he gets to... My little boy all grown up.
Yeah,
now.
But I bet you they were like, okay, no matter what he says, just make sure at least
the L's
half,
are ours.
Yeah, exactly. And all L's.
Yeah, you can tell L they selected his dialogue and went select, and then I replace all L, letter L with letter R. Letter R with letter L.
Is that the actual dude?
No.
It's not?
No. Okay. I don't think so.
No, that's Rob Schneider.
Wait.
You can do it. Jesus. Look, I thought we'd go... Tommy, do you like pools?
Do I like pools?
Swimming pools, yeah.
Swimming pools, yeah.
Because I'm going to throw you in the deep end. I'm going to do a new set. That's the new t-shirt we got coming. That's at heyfam.com/store. No, but seriously, what...
Wait, we need to take a moment to digest this.
We need to take a moment to make me think about that.
Have I made you think too much?
You've got so many catchphrases already on this podcast. It's great.
Yeah, how much do you make off ringtones? It's a sucker's market. No, but normally
throw me in, baby.
I was kind of going, man, let's get some stability in the cast. Let's try and test some new segments. So I want to try a new one called Dreamcast. Ooh. Basically, I want you to start us off, and the idea is you pick a fictional character.
Mm.
Could be from a game. It could be from a fucking Sunday funny paper or something. But Levins and I have to try and cast it as if it was with a real life actor. So, for example,
like name a franchise.
For example, Scott Pilgrim, Michael Cera.
Okay. Yeah.
And we have to try. But I think what would be interesting if you set us parameters, and you're like, it's going to be a straight to video. Shitty movie. So that means we can't pick certain.
Okay.
But no, sorry to throw you in the deep end slash
yep.
pool and shit.
Okay. Netflix original series.
Ooh.
Sonic the Hedgehog.
Now is this
it's live action.
There hasn't been a Wet Hot American-esque movie before that was beloved and
it's
back?
A prequel to the video games.
Fuck, okay.
It's pre Dr. Robotnik turning up and fucking shit up.
Oh, no, so Dr. Robotnik is friends with Sonic to begin with.
That's how it always happens.
They both go to high school together.
okay,
is this,
cool.
Is this CG or live action?
It's live action.
Because then we can do voices of. All
right. By the way, just very quickly, do you remember when there were two Sonic the Hedgehog cartoons on at the same time?
What
the fuck happened there?
That's
how
some
was
messy.
That allowed to happen?
That's some messy.
Are you sure
rights?
You're not getting it confused with Widget the Ward Watcher?
Oh,
that's some messy.
He was purple.
Stitch. Widget was great. But that was weird because one of them was like real zany, like Looney Tunes style. And then one was like this real fantasy show.
Zac Efron.
Zac Efron.
He would do it now.
Hedgehog.
He would do it now. Yeah.
Yep.
He needs it.
Yep.
Because that DJ movie's
okay,
going to bomb.
Okay, I want to hear who you're getting for Sonic and for Tails and for Dr. Robotnik.
Well,
Tails is Turtle.
Jerry Ferrero.
Jerry Ferrero, for sure.
Really?
A lot. What's
yep.
Yeah.
No, no, Jerry Ferrero on his knees, because he's going to be a bit shorter than Sonic. Just, I'd say two out of our league now, but I would have loved to have gotten Jonah Hill as Dr. Robotnik.
Oh, that would be...
It'd be incredible.
Who's like the...
You know what? I'm calling it now. I reckon we'll live to see that in our lifetimes.
Do you think
like,
we're going
to... Quite seriously.
Jonah Hill as Dr. Robotnik?
Yeah.
Oh, well, there you go. That's our first... that's our test run of Dreamcast. I don't know if it's got legs.
Okay, and then let's say that the first series is quite successful, and uh-huh. then they're like, you know what, we'll throw heaps more money at it. We're going to make a blockbuster movie.
Yeah. Mm.
And they fuck it up because they make it... It stars Shadow the Hedgehog.
Yeah. Does Chris Nolan direct it?
Oh,
does it get dark?
Tobey Maguire comes back as Venom.
Oh.
Not Tobey Maguire. What was his,
Tobey Maguire.
When he's dark Spider-Man.
No.
Topher Grace.
Who's playing Knuckles? Knuckles.
He's Australian. Let's get Chris Hemsworth to play him. No, the other one. Bindi Irwin.
The other Hemsworth.
Alf Stewart.
Who said you need to? These gender roles assigned to these Sonic characters.
Yeah, I like it a lot. Very progressive. David Spade's just turned up in Entourage, by the way. Joe Dirt 2's coming down the pipe.
Which I heard is another horrible piece of shit.
Really?
Netflix originals?
Yeah. Crackle. A Crackle Ooh, original.
Fuck.
I love how now every website now just wants... Every streaming service...
Originals.
Wants to have their one. You know what I mean?
Well, I don't want to break... Who Sony is Crackle, isn't it?
I think so, yeah.
I hate for these guys to hear it first, but don't think Joe Dirt 2 is going to be your saving grace, Crackle.
No. But, you know, there's an audience, I guess. Maybe.
I mean, won't that massive Adam Sandler audience that we were talking about earlier go see Joe Dirt 2?
Yeah. Yeah, they're out there. Like, I follow David Spade on Twitter, and this isn't the best gauge, but he's been retweeting a lot of people going, oh my God, # Joe Dirt 2, even better than the original.
And you click on those people, and they've got Confederate flags as their, like, Twitter header. And Yeah. No, I think it'll work.
Yeah.
It could be the most, like, No, I'm not. Yeah.
Should we play another round of Dreamcast?
Yeah, two rounds. Has the audience already got? Is the worm going up? Are people going? They like Dreamcast.
The worm's gone crazy.
All right,
worm's pulled out the bloody the concrete bomb or whatever it's called.
Yeah, it's brought out the concrete bomb, the banana bombs, the old granny bombs. All right, who should go?
I'll pick one.
So it's gonna be fictional. Product.
I'm going to go with back to the early 90s cartoons, Captain Planet.
Captain Planet.
Great.
But it is a... We can't do Netflix. It's going to be a shared universe.
With Widget the World Watcher?
With Marvel. So
it's Marvel.
Yeah. So it's going to be made by Marvel.
I like this idea of an environmentally
aware.
They
would team up. You know what I mean?
They get bonus.
Okay,
from the
fine. All right. Forget the Marvel
shared
part.
Universe.
They're going to start their own shared universe.
The environmental universe.
Massive blockbuster series. Okay. Captain Planet, sharing universe. Widget the World Watcher.
Okay, so big budget.
Huge budget.
Channing Tatum is Wheels.
Oh, it's Wheels.
I
thought he'd be a good captain.
Yeah, I was even thinking of though, you know, we're copying a lot of flack these days for enough females. Maybe a female Captain Planet. I thought he'd be
good. Let's go through who we've got to get. We've got to get the fire dude, the redhead.
Channing, I'm saying right now.
You're saying Channing Tatum.
Do you reckon he's not a
redhead.
But it's Hollywood, baby. put a wig on him. Hey, kid,
I guess it's right.
Okay,
it is Hollywood,
all right. And then we got the blonde girl,
kid.
Water.
Water.
She was wind.
She was
in Russian.
She the Russian honey. So it's someone who can do like a shitty Russian. You know, Mila Kunis. She was born in Russia. Put a blonde wig on her.
I like it a lot
because she's you know,
it's Hollywood baby.
Yeah, it's Hollywood baby. Can we get a Hollywood baby sting going every time?
The water girl who I believe
she was Asian.
Asian.
Yep.
What's her name?
Lucy Liu.
Lucy. Oh, I think she's
the only Asian actress I can think of right now.
The chick that was in the girl, the geisha one.
Yeah, that was somehow worse than Tommy saying the only action actor I know.
The chick
from the geisha
that was
one.
In the geisha one.
Let's cycle back. Let's cycle back while like IMDb things quickly and try to appear like I know.
And then what was his name?
No, you know Runa King, the one that was in Pacific Rim.
I know it's not
the best gauge because no one saw it except me and my dad. but she was in that
that's
one.
It. That's all.
That's all. But hey, there's this part two coming out. Her, she's Japanese.
Really? They're making Pearl Harbor too?
She's the deaf girl in Babel.
Okay.
She'd be great.
All right.
What about the girl who played Knives Chow in Scott Pilgrim? She'd be amazing.
Oh, yeah. She's actually, yeah, let's go with her. Right. She's way better.
Then we got, was his name Kwame?
Yeah, that little Earth? Little Mexi bro.
No, no, because there's Earth.
No, he's Hart. Oh, no, Kwame
is from Africa.
Yeah, oh, Donald Glover. It'd have to be now.
Yeah, good call. Yep.
Dong Glover.
He's not from fucking Africa.
Huh?
Donald Glover's not from...
No, but he's African-American. No, but
he'd be good for it.
Yeah, because he was cool. He was like
he'd be good for it.
Yeah, I think he'd be good for it.
He's gagging for it. He got, you know...
And then...
he'd love to be in Captain Planet. He's an actor now. He's in Magic Mike with Channing. They're getting in XXL.
But Kwame's so serious all the time.
He's a serious actor now.
No, he
quit Community because he doesn't like jokes.
He hates jokes?
Yeah, he hates jokes. You've heard his rap albums. No, yeah.
What about The Rock?
Oh, Captain Planet.
Okay.
You're absolutely. A genius.
You cracked it. The Rock is Captain Planet.
Yeah.
Fuck yeah. That makes so much sense.
But we need... Who's the worst planeteer of all? The Hart. Hart dude.
Well, Justin all Bieber. I know is Josh Gad is going to be playing his monkey in a motion capture suit.
That's good. Andy Serkis.
Yeah.
Andy Serkis. Yeah. But voiced by Josh Gad for some reason. Because of, you know, the hit... all the shit he did in Frozen. But yeah, so we're looking for someone like Latino. Because he was from South America.
Well, this ought to be good.
Hey, Netflix and Adam Sandler, take note.
What about... yeah, I don't think we want to go too far.
He killed it in Ant-Man.
Yeah, I was going to say Michael Peña.
He's too old.
He's way too
Guys,
old.
Guys, I don't know if you heard my creative casting decision for Sonic the Hedgehog. Michael Peña on his knees.
What about Chad from True Detective? He could be the hot guy.
Oh.
Well, his father, yeah.
No, Chad, when he gets a bit older, he could play one of the bad guys, Hoggish Greedley.
Hoggish
Remember
Greedley.
Him?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The red-headed, like, fat pig dude.
And there was Duke Nukem, who was, like, not Duke Nukem the video game, but he was all about nuclear
His name ways. Was actually Duke Nukem?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Makes you think.
Who's going to play Gaia, the earth god woman?
Angelina Jolie.
Oh, I think she does play Gaia right now. I think she's cosplaying constantly.
Or Kim Kardashian.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no, it is Hollywood. I was going to say we'd probably have to go Chloe.
I believe
Kim.
It's Hollywood Baby.
Hollywood Baby. All right, cool. I like that.
And then just quickly, who plays Widget?
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. It has to be a funny guy.
Widget's a bit more motion. There's more motion capture gear going on.
I reckon Andy Serkis for Widget, actually.
Widget, but then who's... Yeah, someone's...
Voiced by Jim Carrey or something.
Voiced by Jim Carrey. I like that a lot. Yeah,
because he does
No, Jim Carrey's more of a mega brain. Widget was pretty stoic, and then mega brain's the... Remember his little watch thing that comes out in his little camp?
I think it would be Jim Carrey with just prosthetics.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I'm down with that.
Yeah.
That's great.
Everybody Loves Raymond's brother. What if Widget just had that, but I don't know, Raymond.
I like that a lot. Brad Garrett. Yes. Yeah, that would be great.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Maybe that's an optional audio track on the Blu-ray. Just watch Widget.
Every movie should have an...
Yeah, Brad Garrett does Brad every Garrett. Voice.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. I don't know,
Not
Raymond.
Not down with that.
Time is a flat circle, Raymond.
Man, how much better would it have been? As much as I like Vince, I reckon they're pretty similar to... Like, Brad Garrett in place of Vince Vaughn would have been... Great.
Well, I know HBO listen to this because we're the only podcast that mentions True Detective 2. But guys, a couple, hot casting tips for...
My heart's got blue balls, Ray.
You know what? I would
Dad, I want to watch Friends.
I would like to see Ray Romano in a series of True Detective. Have you guys seen Men of a Certain Age?
No.
It's a series that he did a couple of years ago.
Yeah, I know
that's
of it,
about
yeah.
being 40 and going, what the fuck am I doing? And he's... real straight in it, and he's really good.
He was really
he's
good
a really
in the
good
office.
Actor.
Ray Romano was always my favorite guest on Dr. Katz.
Yes.
Right. Yeah.
I remember that.
Him true detectiving it up, I think that'd be something pretty
Hang
cool.
Hang on. Have we just launched another new segment called TD3, where we just have to try and pick every week, we try and pick a new cast for True Detective 3?
Sure.
Setting? There you go. Ray Romano, lead cop.
I think if you just do them nonstop until season 3 starts, you'll event, you know... You'll have enough possibilities that you'll end up...
We'll have to get a combination correct.
Yeah. And then they'll announce, they'll be like, ha, we picked it.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
Then we'll be rich.
And then we'll do a think piece called Makes You Think.
Makes You Think Piece.
Makes You Think
So what are we going... All right, if we're going to be casting True Detective, are we going... Do you think they're going to be like, fuck, we cast too many people this time, let's go back to two? Or what do you think?
Or just one.
Just one True Detective?
Yeah, the last True Detective on Earth.
Fuck.
Ooh.
The mashup.
That's some gunslinger stuff, isn't it? Like post-apocalyptic detective. Yeah, Ray Romano, definitely.
Yeah.
Tommy, I actually thought we would talk a lot more about video games on this episode. I reckon we've got another 10 minutes left.
Yeah, I haven't been playing
before we let you go to sleep
lately.
Before we keep fighting on your bed.
I just went to Japan, which is like the mecca of games. That was sick.
When I went there a couple of years ago, I guess I had this idea of what Tokyo would be in my head of just like Nintendo characters everywhere.
Yeah,
and I was disappointed, but you know, obviously you see a lot of things that have influenced video games. Mm.
Yes,
but you don't see the character. You know, I thought I'd be able to buy Mario everything.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, still, I found like more in just in general.
But instead, I just saw Japanese culture left, right, and center.
Yeah.
I went to Super Potato, which is like the big retro game store.
Such a good place.
In Tokyo, and I bought a little handheld thing that plays old NES cartridges. So I've got a whole bunch of old Famicom. So that's literally what I've been playing recently.
Hey,
is
Famicom.
Adventure Island 1 and 2. Hey, Famicom.
Which game?
Adventure Island 1 and 2. That like Hudson's like knockoff Mario thing.
Yeah. Is that Bonk?
No.
Was it Wonder Boy? Wasn't
it? There was
into
a weird obsession with like caveman based games.
Yeah, wasn't it turned into Wonder Boy on Sega?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was just like reskinned as Wonder Boy, I think.
Yeah.
Pretty sure.
Yeah.
It's the same dude, like they had the cap and they throw the hammers and shit,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah. And you ride skateboards.
Yeah, same game.
You get a little dinosaur that you ride on.
Yeah.
I got the Tiny Toon Adventures game.
Fuck yes.
I just went straight up for nostalgia. Like the Ninja Turtles 2, the first time they did the beat 'em up.
Yeah.
Oh, yep.
Game. That was amazing. Tiny Toon's game is awesome. I used to borrow that from my neighbor growing up. I love that game.
And the SNES one was great. Busted Loose. I've been doing recently is just going on and watching all the long play videos of old games on YouTube.
I'm even worse than that. I watched a 90 minute video of like all old C64 games.
Oh yeah,
Jesus.
And they're all like 17 minutes long each game to finish.
But, like playthroughs.
But they made one of my favorite comic book characters is a Dark Horse character called Usagi Yojimbo.
Oh yeah,
yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Well, he's on Dark Horse now, but it's a samurai bunny rabbit, and they made a Commodore 64.
It's like the retelling of Yojimbo, this sweet like classic Japanese samurai tale of a rabbit and all animals. Like so, yeah. And did sick crossovers with the Ninja
Dude,
Turtles,
and
right?
For this, apparently the gameplay is terrible. But the visually, for like, you know, the crappy graphics, it's the perfect tone of what the comic
That's
is.
That's sick.
Yeah, nice.
Yeah, and they you like in between killing people as a samurai, you like then will just kind of walk through a town and you'll go past someone and he'll be like, the life of a samurai is sad and peaceful.
And this game goes for 17 minutes.
Pretty much.
It's pretty poignant for a C64 game.
Yeah.
No, Yojimbo's sweet.
I read an article today about Rare, the games developer from had their peak at Banjo-Kazooie, GoldenEye, Donkey Kong 64,
Donkey Kong Country,
yeah. About their early output on, I think it was the Spectrum.
I read the
or
same
something.
Thing today.
Yeah, yeah. About how they made this game
something
called
Adventure.
Knight's Law.
Yeah,
and they deliberately held it back because they were like, this game is
too good
and the graphics are too good and it's going to fuck everyone's shit up. So they sat on it for a couple of years and I watched a video of it, and for the time, given that it's on one of those piece of shit systems that's pre-original Nintendo, it looks incredible.
And they weren't called Rare, were they? They had a different name.
No, they're called Ultra Game.
Yeah, Ultra Game.
They were
like that?
Common.
Yeah.
Are you guys into, because you're both 64 guys growing up.
Big time.
Are you into the...
it's Hollywood, baby. A 64 guy.
Are you into their crowdfunded, like a bunch of people that are ex-Rare have like set up their own shop?
I mean, it doesn't look particularly inspired, but...
those guys
what's
know how
it
to make
called?
A platformer.
It's called Ukulele, which is their answer to...
Banjo-Kazooie.
The spiritual successor to Banjo-Kazooie.
Because you don't really see many... 3D platforming games.
No,
anymore.
Unless it's a Nintendo game.
Well, no, basically. Nintendo are just making 2D platforming games.
Yeah,
well,
the last one.
But it's not
even
really.
That was 2D. Yeah, it was exactly. Heaps of constraints.
But I think the big thing about it is, there's Mario 3D World and stuff like that, but those old style of games where there's just seven worlds and you have to find like a
120
billion,
pieces of
something.
I think
that's what they're trying to bring back.
I'm down for it.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting. It's like, is there a reason that we
don't have those games?
That we don't do that? Have we moved on? Like, is there still charm in it? Because I loved Mario 3D World on the Wii U because I was like, this is what, even back in the day of Mario 64, I was like, what I want is a 3D world that I just run around in and I get to the end and that's it. I never loved the going around and looking for all that shit.
I liked it because it was just like, we went from side-scrolling Super Mario World literally to Mario 64 and it was just like, holy shit, like that, you know, remember when the 64, oh no, it was called something else, but that was like a revolution. I was just like, yeah. Holy shit. And that was, yeah, that was just like, this is a game I used to probably, like I used to draw game levels all the yeah. time as a kid. And I was like, this is like, I couldn't even come up with this stuff. Like that.
But all those games have dated so, well, a lot of them have like.
Mario 64 is still incredibly fun to play.
I started trying to play Donkey Kong 64 the other day.
That's
a piece of
shit. That's a horrible game.
And
Rare are putting out a lot of, basically a lot of all the titles that
it's like 30 classic games.
Isn't but that don't use any of the Nintendo licenses that they were doing. They're putting out, I don't know, like ones like Perfect Dark.
Yeah.
Conker's no, because that's on. Right, because they've re-released all them on the Microsoft.
Yeah, but they're releasing a massive package. It doesn't have like all Donkey of that. Kong so like, or... it's got like Battletoads. And
oh wow!
All they're on putting Xbox that on. One. It's like the one thing that makes me want to get an Xbox One.
I didn't realize until recently that Battletoads was a game.
Oh yeah, it was
like
a game.
I thought it was a game based on a show. No, I never realized opposite. It was just a straight
it was like
up.
Transformers. Yeah. Like they made the toys first, and then made the TV series off it to make people buy the toys.
Those Battletoads games were.
It was hard as fuck. Yeah, they're like the hardest games ever. Also in the same. On the Rare tangent, he's not even part of the company anymore because I don't think it exists in any way that it used to and operates at all of any of the original stuff. But he was like, yeah, we thought Nintendo were the ones that were going to buy us. Like, we were shocked that it was Microsoft.
Yeah.
And he was kind of like, not gutted, but he was like, yeah, we thought, of course they're going to buy us. We make the cute games that they, you know.
Well, but
you
Shigeru Miyamoto always hated Donkey Kong Country and hated and thought Rare didn't make good platforming
really?
Games. Yeah, yeah.
He really?
And that's why everyone was so surprised that they made Donkey Kong Country Returns. Because
with Retro Studios.
Miyamoto always hated...
Yeah, wow.
That's interesting.
Hated the
Donkey Kong Country Retro games. Did the new one, didn't they?
Yeah, yeah.
And they did the Metroid stuff. And yeah.
But,
well, because you guys...
Apparently, Yoshi's Island exists because Miyamoto was like, no, this is how you make it.
Oh, wow.
An interesting...
Really?
Yeah, because like everyone was like marveled by the graphics,
but it's a pretty straight up platformer, and you just jump on things, and
physics. It still has its merits.
It's a great game. Yeah, it's got one of the best soundtracks still. Yeah. Like seriously, Donkey Kong Country 1 and Donkey Kong Country 2, man, the title screen of Diddy's Conquest is the entire beat to Drake Six God.
Yeah,
seriously, it is like it's sampled. Like that's it. Like the music in those games were amazing.
Yeah, well, you guys, I thought that you was know, fun you as talked hell. On one episode about sort of your frustrations with Nintendo.
Yeah,
and yeah, when they lost Rare, like that was the biggest hit they've taken. Where, you know, GameCube was kind of a flop, but then it's like, imagine if they still had Rare.
Oh.
Like imagine if we had Rare churning out those kinds of epic games for the Wii U with those graphics and with, you know, trying to make use of the gamepad.
And like being put in charge of franchises like Metroid.
Yeah,
or being,
Huge, rather than this fucking Metroid soccer horse shit.
Oh man, isn't that brutal?
Apparently it's like not that bad of a game. But
it's
is
like
just
no one will ever play it because it's still like the besides.
Just
like,
make it a new IP.
Yep. Just like, do it. Make it a $15 downloadable game.
Yeah.
And then have nothing to do with Metroid except maybe like DLC suit that's like an allusion to it or something. Just such a kick in the dick. But,
and how's all this stuff coming out about how they reckon the next Nintendo console is going to be like next year? Is that like...
Yeah.
We're already... Like we're still... it feels like we're still pretty early on in the life cycle of the Wii U.
Yeah.
It feels like it's just starting to get going. They've just given up. It's like... Fuck, man! Like,
I mean, I feel like they've got a lot of, you know, the investor.
The Wii U is like the GameCube again. I think we're going to look back and be like, oh, there's some classic games on there that are really awesome and really like.
It's got you know the best Mario Kart in a long time,
hands down.
And the fact that the DLC is so good, the Mario 3D World is my favorite Mario game in a long time.
Did you get online Splatoon?
I didn't get Splatoon yet.
Neither of you guys.
No, I want to get it.
You can't complain about Nintendo unless you already have Splatoon.
But still,
Yoshi and the new Yoshi's Woolly World is really, really
coveting
great.
Coveting that for
Can
a while.
Can I have a little cool dad moment?
Yeah.
So
new segment.
Cool dad moment.
That's Hollywood, baby. I'm gonna do Hollywood dad starting.
That's Hollywood dad.
Makes you think. I love my son.
Makes dad think.
Dream dad.
So I have a 19-month-old son, Archie, who I've been spending heaps of time with lately because I because
you're a good dad.
He's your son.
For some reason. No, I'm just
sort of obligated to at this point.
I lost the court case, and
he's my Velcro son.
I'm doing less time at work and more time at home, which is rad. And the first character that he's ever been able to recognize. Like, he watches Peppa Pig and he'll make a pig sound if when a pig comes on. But, and like, I don't know if you know this, but like Peppa Pig and shit, that's inescapable when you're a kid.
It's yeah, everywhere. Yeah. Oh, yeah, it's everywhere. Yeah. It's cocaine.
It's actually not that bad of a show, too, when you compare it to all the other pieces of shit on ABC 2. But the first actual character that he knows the name of and points to is Yoshi.
That's huge.
Yes.
That's parenting so good. Done good.
Because he's got the, I've seen your pictures, he's got the, you've the got amiibo. Him a little, the amiibo.
I buy all the expensive amiibos and then just give them all to Archie to play with.
Yeah.
See, that's the best excuse. For me, I could be like, yeah, it's for my son. And then I'd be like, oh, it's not, I don't have a son.
I just got the latest amiibo is the Olimar from Pikmin.
Oh, yeah, I saw that.
That comes with three Pikmin.
Yeah. I
saw that. And then Yoshi in the Woolies, in Yoshi's Woolly World, when you scan an amiibo, the Yoshi gets like a goes like a different pattern,
yeah,
according to the character,
the color scheme of the character,
and,
yeah,
and his scales are different Pikmin.
Oh, that's it's sick. Really,
really, oh, that's awesome.
But so whenever Archie sees Yoshi, be it on the screen when I'm playing a game, or when he sees, like, even like looking through a toy catalog and he sees like a video game with Yoshi on it, he points it and goes, Shishi.
Shishi. The dream. That's so the great. Dream.
There you go. Parenting done good. Good on you, Levs.
And he doesn't like. I was playing God of War 3 the other day while he was in the room, like a really great dad.
Good dad, man.
And he was just like, you know, didn't really care for it. Like, looked at the screen and just all these dark, brooding crap,
yeah,
and just kind of walked away and broke something.
So that's super validating for Nintendo. But it's like, but there you go, yeah, like
a really, really beautiful game like Yoshi's Woolly World, he'll just sit down next to me and watch me play.
So that's awesome.
For an hour. It's the best.
Yeah, I don't know, that's like that, hearing stuff like that, it's like, yeah, that's, you know, there is there will always be a reason. Like, they were my first.
Me adopt. Let's go out tomorrow and adopt a kid.
Well, Tom, I've actually prepared
purely to play video games.
I've actually prepared these papers with Stephen early. We're thinking of taking you in.
Just... oh, I would love that.
Makes me dad.
Makes me responsible.
Miso soul. I can't be responsible.
Oh boy.
Yeah, we got a lot of catchphrases. This is the catchphrase app.
Just, I gotta go in on Splatoon and Woolly's World. That's what's on same. The cards when I get home.
And Mario Maker's coming out in like less than a month.
That's huge. That's really good.
I reckon that's gonna blow our dicks out.
Yeah, I'm so
just the 100 preloaded levels on it is good, because I'm with you. You did talk about this, Angus, that the thing of, I don't really want to sit down and dick around and play. I don't know what makes a level good, but
from what,
just being able to get on the web and play other people's ones, and all that, that's enough for me.
Yeah,
you know?
From what people are saying that have played it and the videos that I've seen giving you like kind of little tutorials on how to make the levels, it seems so user-friendly and interactive and just fun.
I still question how long I will actually make levels. Like, I might do it for a weekend or two.
You can like spell out stuff.
But, I've been that way with any kind of thing that has like a level editor, where I just sort of start to do it and then I go, like, you know, Smash Brothers got one. I just go, I don't know what makes it good. I don't know.
Guys,
like, I don't know what I want to see.
I'm going to take a knee and tell you guys a story about why I don't think I'm going to be any good.
Why you don't
games.
Make you think.
Why, this is another new segment called why I don't make me think. Now, my friend had a PC growing up and I had a Mac, so I missed out on the great series, Microsoft 3D Movie Maker.
Oh, yes.
And we made so many ridiculous movies with that, with such basic limitations. It was fun because it was such...
How good was it?
It was great. There were such shitty generic characters.
I had a Nickelodeon version of
it. See, this is what I'm about to talk about.
I had the Simpsons one. Guys, Simpsons Cartoon Studio. I had the Nickelodeon one as well. Fuck.
This is what I'm talking about. We saw the Nickelodeon one. And it was coming out soon. And we're like, can you imagine...
The Minions.
When we can make our own Nickelodeon episodes. Like, we can make our own Rugrats, our own Hey Arnold's, our own Real Monsters, blah, blah.
Yeah.
Then we got it. I was like, I don't know anything about script writing or the character beats. Like, I know nothing. Like, I've got to leave it to the Nickelodeon. And I had like a nervous breakdown as a 9-year-old, just going, no, I don't write for Nickelodeon.
Yeah.
I'm worried that my product will not be as good as theirs. Like, and that's what the point of it. You're supposed to be creative and like put Tommy in the same room.
Fucking hell. How old are you at this point?
Well, this is during my Happy Gilmore Make You Think moment, where I took on a lot of like big issues for a 9-year-old.
And it made you think, I'll never make it in Hollywood, baby.
Which is now the bane of that segment. But I'm just kind of like, I think I'm still scarred from that, because we tried making them and like we couldn't get the voices right. And I'm such a perfectionist. I was like, no, doesn't sound like it. Scrap it, delete it, or burn the master tapes. And you're not supposed to. You're supposed to like pick your nose and make a shitty movie and show your parents. And they're like, oh, good, he's autistic. And that's like, that's, you know, that's what the game existed for.
Do you remember, I read a review. I don't know if this ever came out here. But
I read a review of you by your parents when they said you're autistic.
He has this thing with Adam Sandler movie titles. We think he's autistic. He's written a thesis on it. He's 11.
There was a Tiny Toons cartoon studio maker thing for the Nintendo.
I remember it.
And I read a review of it, and the guy's like, I can't believe this came out because it's so limited by the fact that it's on a NES cartridge. There's nothing on here.
You can do the same thing.
There's four characters. You can make them do two things. There's no dialogue in there. It's just pretty much four different backgrounds that you can make one of these characters walk back and forth on.
What a shit
it's
game.
It's shit.
That sounds great. Can we play that live in our live app, Les?
Oh, man.
Definitely.
Sounds great. But I'm under pressure. I'm looking forward to just playing all the... Yeah, just getting online and seeing what people make.
I hope there'll be like the Shiggy section and like Shiggy Miyamoto will upload some levels. Yeah. Like I'm hoping they do it by creator. Like I think that would be cool if they're like, here's the Shiggy's done 10 levels or his level's done by, and they'll get like another, like I don't know, like a guy from another franchise and like we gave him the reins. And I think that'll be cool. It's kind of like...
Do you think...
To warm me up to the idea of I can too create a video game level and not feel the pressure of Adam Sandler titles? I don't know.
I don't know if... maybe this is out there, but like... So the whole thing of it is you can design your levels using the art style of Mario 1, Mario 3, Mario World, or 3D, Mario Wii. If you go on and you are playing someone else's level that they've designed,
can you change
the skin on it?
Yeah, you can do everything. Publish it or something like that. You can't take credit for it. You have to change enough. I think there's some rules, so you can't rip off like really good levels.
I'm pretty much exclusively just going to go Mario World, I reckon.
Yeah, it's my favorite era.
I love all the amiibo stuff, how you can...
99 different characters you can play.
What I'm most pumped about is seeing like new characters and older ones that were never in Mario World and like dumbing them down or like making... You know what I mean? I'm like, I'm
16-bit Wario running around.
It's going to be amazing.
Man, that's going to be cool.
Just imagine all the like hacks that will come out of this when someone like gets the ROM files and just putting them in like... Like other like 16-bit shit. I don't know. Like, you know, vaporwave shit. It's going to be boring.
Makes you imagine.
Yeah. No, I'm on board. It's going to be... And that pack where it comes with the book with like the history. Book,
I love a good art book.
It's something that's some coffee table.
We all do. We're only
human. How fucking good does the 16-bit amiibo look? Yeah. The 8-bit amiibo.
Have you bought any amiibos, Tommy?
Yeah, I've got a few. I've got Mario, Yoshi, Shishi. Wario.
You got Wario too,
and, Pac-Man.
I haven't got any because makes me poor.
You came home the other day with a little Zelda action figure, a Link action figure that you'd bought, and it's cool, but I was just going, why don't you just get a fucking amiibo?
Like, this one can move. You can put the sword in his back. I don't know. I'm into ambidextrous characters that, I don't know, it's really cool. It comes with a shield. You can take it off.
Made me think that you were dumb shit.
Makes me think. Look, I just remembered I bought you guys something, and I want you to... open up.
This is
apparently a Minion branded Kinder Surprise. And Tom, I know how much of a big fan you are of the
love the Minions.
Of the Pixar hit series Minions.
Let's talk about that. We tried to make you come and see it with us on Saturday morning.
Ruffling your feathers.
And that's all we have time for. We finally got there.
We've made every phrase tonight into a t-shirt, gang.
We'd
really like you to buy it so we can buy more amiibos.
Oh, you're not even going to eat the Kinder Surprise? Some of you
I want to... this is the big reveal. People want to know what's in the...
People want to hear what's in the Kinder Surprise. People want to hear us
chew. People want to hear the toy.
All right, I'm opening mine, guys. We have to... Okay, I've got a Minion. I can confirm mine is a Minion.
Yeah, I've got a Minion as well.
Is this what you meant by adopting a son?
Is this what you meant by Netflix and chill? I've got like a little scary vampire Minion.
Is that funny? I mean, is this
good content? Yeah, mine's a little Dracula.
I have one playing a guitar and its eye kind of moves when you shake it around.
That one's sick. I just got a fucking keyring. Fuck the Minions.
What? Did you really?
Yeah, it's the keyring with the Minion.
Is this some grass is greenish shit? I mean, do you want to trade?
Yeah, I'd love to.
Okay, let's trade. There we go. Look at that. Look at that.
I broke it.
Make me broke. Make me remember key.
Great stuff. Chocolate. Great strong ending.
Great content.
I like it.
Tommy, where can we find you on the internet if we so desire to?
I'm at Dassalo, Dassalo on...
Now, is Dassalo your father's name, your mother's name?
Stage name.
Yep.
That's me on Instagram and Twitter. Facebook, I think I'm T Dassalo. And just my website, TommyDassalo.com, where you can find links to my podcast and stuff.
Yeah, Little Dum Dum Club.
The Little Dum Dum Club.
It's a great...
I also do a show called You Beauty, which is about sports, with my friend Sam, who knows heaps about sports. And I know fucking nothing, so he educates me about sport.
Who says you can't learn from a podcast?
Makes you learn.
Makes you learn.
Angus, you are Chimichangas.
I'm Chimichangas, like the Mexican food. I'm also a podcast, Greenlight Boys. You should download that if you have heaps of time in your hands and you love the sound of this voice. Also, I'd like to say, loving the reviews coming on iTunes, your Entourage pictures. Your Entourage pictures are getting zany, and boy, I'm loving them. And yeah, Levins and I are going to pick the best one, or maybe even mail a couple of the best ones and turn it into a script that we're going to have a live reading of at our live app.
Woohoo!
So yeah, send them on. Also, send in your... I'd like, you know, I'm taking it there. Send in your Dreamcast suggestions. If you've got a fictional character you want us to fuck up, you got to tell us what type of budget we're getting and what medium this shall live on.
Sounds good. Dreamcast, the hottest new segment since...
Yeah, buy the t-shirt.
Since, what was my one? Cute dad moments?
Yeah, cute dad moments.
You can find us, Hey Fam Podcast, on Facebook. Facebook.com/HeyFamPodcast.
Send us an email.
HeyFamPodcast@gmail.com.
Also, we're on the front page of iTunes, the top cycling through.
We got that
things.
Banner.
Yeah, we got that banner life.
We got that banner.
That Eric Banner life. Guys, I'm going to star in Ang Lee's Hulk. Is this a good idea? That's something Eric Banner.
Guys, I'm going to bring Poyter back.
Oh, man. Imagine a full length Poyter feature film.
Is that a dream? Is that next week's Dreamcast taken care of?
Yeah.
Gritty reboot of Poyter.
That's amazing. If you want to look for me, I'm yolevins.com or LEVDAWG, LevDog on Twitter.
If you're at a party and having a good time and you've paid entry to get in, the guy that behind the decks is probably this guy.
The minion that we just unearthed from the Kinder Surprise.
Oh, yeah, I went
DJing.
Up to you but when you were DJing on Saturday night and requested Minions on my phone. I thought that was... I was pretty proud of myself.
I hadn't downloaded it yet. But I
just wanted you to play a fucking cam rip of it.
Yeah, perfect.
Over the club speakers.
How vile would that be? You see kids crying during the movie. Shh.
It is DreamWorks, though. They would have some pretty recognizable club anthems within the
By
movie.
By Smash Mouth.
For sure. Yeah,
yeah. By the artist Smash Mouth.
Can't get enough of the Minions.
Oh, God.
Struth.
Thanks so much for listening to Hey Fam. We'll be back next week with another cool guest.
Ooh.
Talking about some cool stuff.
It'll be a big one because it's for us anyway. I mean, it's going to be the final True Detective debrief.
Ooh. Oh,
so it's either going to be your least favorite or most favorite episode. I mean, yeah, take that as you will.
So, yeah, thank you very much for listening and see you next week. Perry Farrell.
He just got here. He's always on time with Perry. Have you noticed that?
Yeah.
He's never late.
Take it away. Yeah.
Make you think.
Make you think. Gonna make you think.
JJ Abrams.
Make
Jar Jar Binks.
Makes you think.
You think.
The end.